Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. Thou art always the same. Thy goodness endureth forever. And Thou hast in mind to do good to us. We thank Thee for it. Grant now that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou mayest take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We continue now in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew in the 17th chapter and come to the 22nd verse. And in verses 22 and 23, the Lord Jesus announces His coming betrayal and death. He has done this before, but here it is repeated again. And this is the way it reads. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. This is an interesting sequence. What I mean to say, if you look back in this whole chapter 17 and take the three major events, it is rather... It's rather impressive that this one should come the third in the series. You see, in the first part of the 17th chapter, we saw the Lord Jesus in His glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Certainly no man was ever like that. And then we noticed in verses 14 to 21, the Lord Jesus in His power when He healed the afflicted son even after the disciples couldn't. And now we are brought sharply up to this, that He is to be betrayed. The transfiguration, the power in service, the betrayal in death, following each other in one series. And that leads me to make this observation to us all. We should not be unduly upset if our course as we live throughout the day is somewhat spotty. We have good moments and then we have poor moments. We can have a real wonderful thing happen to us and right after that something very discouraging and very depressing can come. You see, in this world it's not all of one piece. There's such a mixture and a conglomeration of things in this world. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's awful, all in the same day. And that's the way they would come here. The transfiguration in glory, the power and service, wonderful, the betrayal unto death, awful, all to the same man. And now we read on in verses 24 to 27, and we come to a very interesting and, I think, useful guidance in the matter of our relationship to other people. Let me read the incident to you. This is in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? Now, tribute, we may remember, is taxes. And they had a sort of a, what we would perhaps call a head tax. The individual person, each individual person had to pay a certain amount of tax annually to the government. And the people who gathered taxes came to the disciples and demanded that they pay taxes and that the Lord Jesus pay taxes. Doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. That's what Peter answered. Yes, he'll do that. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. That's a rather awkward way of saying that Jesus stepped in front of him to talk to him. Confronted him would be a good way of saying it. Saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take, and give unto them for me and thee. Here is the true relation of the spiritual man to the public authority, to the social authority. Society's government is actually without jurisdiction over the spiritual man. The government of the community cannot legislate your soul. And no law in the community making any demand upon you can control your spirit. There is no way in which the local government has any power over your spiritual nature. And insofar as you're a child of God, you could, on the surface, so far as the logic of the matter is concerned, you could claim that they've got no power over you. But now the Lord Jesus lays down a principle that you and I should never forget. Lest we offend them, they wouldn't understand it. They would not understand our announcing to them that we don't belong to them. They wouldn't know what that meant. We would offend them if we disobeyed their order. And the word offend doesn't mean we just make them feel bad. The word offend means we would cause them to stumble. They wouldn't be able to understand it. If we started talking to them in spiritual ideas and explaining our attitude and our conduct on the basis of our relationship with God, we would mislead them. They'd get all kinds of wrong ideas. And the truth of the matter is, we don't want to do that. We do not want to cause them to stumble. We don't want to mix them up. And so, and the Lord Jesus sets the pattern. We would rather humble ourselves to accept their restrictions. If I could use the contemporary phraseology, I would say, we'll play it their way. We'll play it according to their rules, rather than to arouse their animosity and their hostility. Because if we don't do what they want us to do, they will take offense. And they will stumble at that. They're not willing to accept us. They wouldn't take our reason for our conduct. They've got their own requirements, and they see no reason why we shouldn't obey them. Now, the Christian principle then is, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, lest we offend them, we'll do what they want us to do. And this is a profound principle. It means in any community that you're in, you will at all times work along with the people in that community as if you were one of them. And this will mean that when the community projects come up and need to be handled, you're a citizen in the community, you'll do your part. You'll pay your tribute. It would be perfectly understandable in the sight of God if you were to have this feeling. I'm just a stranger here. I'm just a pilgrim. And since I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this community, I don't have any part of it. And I think perhaps there are some of us are inclined to be like that. I expect some of us probably feel like we don't even need to go and vote because we've just got the feeling we're only passing through anyway and it doesn't really matter. I think in some cases some of us would be inclined to think we don't need to do anything about the community chest. We don't need to do anything about the Red Cross. We don't need to care what's being done about the young people in the community, teenager problem is no problem of ours. Perhaps we could have the feeling we have nothing to do with juvenile delinquency at all. We don't have anything to do about whether or not there are certain amusement places open or shut. It doesn't make any difference to us what people do because we don't belong here. Well, remember with reference to all of that, that if you participate in the local community, that's paying your taxes, which is not only money, it's your interest and your share in the community. And if you are in a community and the demand is made upon you that you should share in the work of that community, it would be understandable from what the truth of the matter, that you're a traveler through, you're a tourist, you don't really belong there. It would be understandable if you were to say, that's not really my business. But they wouldn't understand it that way. They'd take offense if you did it that way. So lest we give any offense, we'll just go through with it. That reminds you remember of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ by John the Baptist when he said to him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And now comes this strange and remarkable incident in the 27th verse. Telling him to go down and catch the first fish he would catch, open his mouth, take out money, and give it. As fantastic as that sounds, don't miss the principle. Don't miss the idea. You see, God would provide in providence what it would take to pay the tribute. The Lord will provide all in his providence. All will be provided that is needed. So, if you need to give some time to the local community, the Lord will give you time. If you need to take part in the local projects, the Lord will give you what it takes to take part. Give what those in power ask. You don't need to worry. The Lord's given you everything that you have. Satisfy their requirements by the help of the Lord. I know that some of us have very sensitive feelings about the fact that we give money in these public affairs, and then that money is used for various kinds of projects that we wouldn't do. I wish I could suggest to you that you have no real responsibility about that. Your responsibility is to do your part. If you're given an opportunity of leadership, you take the opportunity of leadership. If you're not given the opportunity of leadership, act like a citizen in the community and do whatever needs to be done. Don't you worry one moment about it being the Lord's money. The Lord has more money. You give what is required of you, do what is expected of you, just not to give any offense. Now, in this remarkable incident here about getting the money out of the fish's mouth, I wonder if a real Christian person can feel that even day in and day out, if this doesn't happen, aren't you and I being constantly supplied in many, many ways that are truly remarkable ways in the way to which the Lord is supplying us? The point is, He'll give us what it takes. We should just do it that way. Now, this is true in the home, so far as your responsibilities there are concerned, and it's true in the church, and it's true in your office. You do what's expected of you and required of you, and remember, the Lord will make it possible for you. Our God and Heavenly Father, incline our hearts to be willing to serve Thee in all things, that the people might not be offended. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.